Welcome, everybody. Good to see you. It's a moment. Said the same thing on our community call, Q&A call yesterday, because it's a holiday week here in the US. I don't know how many of us will be here. I know it'll be the exact perfect circle, no matter how many of us are here, but I'll give us like another 10, 15 seconds, before we get started. All right. We're going to start a little differently today. I'm going to start by telling you a story. It's going to be story time. It is, you'll see, it is in many ways related to what we're going to be taking a look at today. And I'm gonna tell you this story with you helping me. And some of you have done this kind of storytelling with me before. I'm gonna teach you a nigun, a melody. And we're gonna, with your sound off, because it doesn't work so well with Zoom with all of us singing together. But no, we're all be singing together in our spaces. We'll kind of sing the tune and then you'll know when to stop and then we'll break it back in. And the tune goes like this. I'll teach it to you and then we'll do it together. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Let's try it. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Let's do it again. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. This is the story of a tree. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny sapling little tree who found herself there alive one day. At first, unaware that she was, well, short, she stood in all her majesty, a daughter of the earth, connected to the mother beneath her, grateful for the day in front of her, happy to be her. Lie, 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 lie. And so it went day after day, night after night, until one morning, as she was greeting the sun, the little tree looked up and realized that she was not alone. She noticed three other trees not too far away from her, just a little bigger, just a little taller than her. Oh my, the little tree thought, I'd like to be that tall too. Well, it won't be too long now, not more than a day or two until I'll grow to look like that. And it was in that very moment that our tree first felt that beautiful, that glorious, that pressure-filled feeling of wanting to fulfill her potential. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Well, 2 days later, the little tree greeted the morning, expecting to be much taller. And to her dismay, she found that she was exactly the same size as before. And she looked up to those three other trees and found that they were even taller, even stronger than they had been before. And could it be their branches held fruit? Well, you may know how it went from here. An itty bitty voice was activated in the teeny weeny tree, and it went like this. What is wrong with me? I must be cursed. I am just not good enough. Why can't I grow? My life would be so much better if only I were bigger, taller, if only I were better, if only I were richer with fruit, then my life would really begin. Lie, 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 lie. And so it went until the tree decided that she could force herself to grow. She took a deep breath and began to push. She pushed and pushed and pushed. But nothing happened. She didn't get any taller, though she was truly exhausted. And so she pushed and she pushed. And she pushed again so hard that one of her delicate, beautiful branches broke right off and onto the ground. And that itsy bitsy voice inside of her, which was no longer itsy bitsy, but loud and strong, it said, "What a failure I am. I can't get anything right. And those other bigger, better trees, they must be laughing at poor little me." And there she was, alone, dejected, frustrated. Now, this is when our little tree gave up on pushing. She was so tired that all she could do was be and wait and wait and be. And so she waited and waited and was. And in that waiting and being, she took care of herself and waited and was and tried to love herself and waited and was. She waited some more until one morning she woke to greet the sun and noticed that the view was different. Could it be? Oh, yes, it could. The view was most certainly different. The tree had grown so tall, so strong during the night that she could look down and see the tops of all the other trees. Lie, 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 lie. Okay, deep breath in and out. So we're going to come back to that story. We'll use it as like a little bit of a backdrop for our time together today, which is all about being in the mystery and letting go. And I'd love to first just hear a share or two on what resonated for you from that story. What resonated for you? What felt important for you? You'd like to share?
I never know how to find the. I always forget how to find
I'm glad
the
you just took yourself off mute, Susan.
thing. Thanks. It first of all, brava, well told, and I love that inclusiveness of sharing the song. That's really that really feels like it enriches the togetherness of it. And it's just it's so easy to see how absurd it is with a little tree, to feel bad about not being taller. And it's that provides a real contrast to how it feels inside. So that's a great metaphor.
Yes. How often are we, feeling bad and making ourselves feel bad for not being taller, for not being like this one or that one? And I love the word you use, absurd. It's like when we see it from the outside, right? It's like, oh, yeah, of course. Thank you. Yeah, and Susan Engel is saying in the chat, letting go. Right. There are moments and seasons for doing more, and moments and seasons for letting go. Anyone else want to share what resonated for you from the story? What did you take from it? I feel like there's one more share out there. What felt important? Maria.
I love the song and the metaphor and how Susan just shared the absurdity. And then so I almost didn't really want to say this, but at the end, she was taller than everybody else. So she felt good. But I guess there's a part of me that's like, what if she didn't have to be taller? What if she found that she was just like a part of an ecosystem and her place was fine when she's little and she's fine when she's big, and that be the winning end of the story rather than I win because I'm over you. And so that was kind of my piece is like, oh, I almost didn't want to speak because the story's so beautiful. And
No,
yet I didn't want to
I'm
rewrite the
so
ending, and
glad.
yet my ending wanted a different ending.
Yes, I'm so no, I'm so glad you're speaking to it. And every time I tell the story, there is always someone who shares that or shares, but what if she really still wanted to be tall, but she waited and she wasn't in the end too, right? There's so many ways the story can end in beautiful ways, for sure. Yes. And it's so true, right? We don't have to be the tallest. And we're gonna kind of talk about that today too. Yeah. Susan Larkin is saying the letting go and the just being felt important. Yes. And Kristen is saying the fighting until she couldn't anymore and surrendered. And the surrender gave way to growth. Yes. And Jessica saying the fact that she wasn't alone. Yeah. So these are all themes that we're gonna be diving into. Before we do, I realize I was so excited to share the story because I always get excited to share the story that I forgot to mention one logistic thing before we jump in. So let me just make sure I mention that. Some of you probably have all seen the invites so far via email, but in case you're like me and you don't open up some emails that you get for weeks until weeks afterwards, I just wanted to remind you that on December 5th, we have for this cohort of Sacred Depths a next steps call. A lot of you have been asking about advanced depth, and I'm going to be sharing on that call all about advanced depth and also a special private pricing just for your cohort going into it. And, you know, I'll get into kind of all of the nitty gritties of the program and how we can continue working together if you want to, once Sacred Depths is done, which is soon. Many of you have already RSVP'd, and you have emails on it, but I'll also just pop the link in the chat, if you want to RSVP for that call. Okay. So we are with this call today, kind of starting our last stretch of our 10 months together of Sacred Depths. Our first unit was our foundational skills. Our second unit was lots of different skills and tools and techniques around supporting clients with obstacles. Fear, resistance, thought patterns, self-sabotage, etc. We're going to continue with all of that, but in a different way in this third section of the program, which I think of as, I don't know, a combination of just bonus issues, a lot of things that you are not, I mean, already we've covered so many pieces that you're not going to see in other places, but things not traditionally always spoken about in practitioner trainings, and a little bit spiritual isn't quite the right word, but we've been looking at this all along, but specifically in this last section of the program, kind of more universal truths that I think are really important for us as practitioners to be thinking about and supporting our clients with. And so today we're looking at being in the mystery and letting go. And in coaching, we tend to speak a lot about creating new things and getting more done. But, and I think this is a mistake, the industry rarely talks about not doing, and definitely even more rarely does it talk about destroying. We speak so often about more, but very rarely about less and about loss. And the truth is that life, real life, is about both. It's about creating, and it's also about destroying. It's about manifesting, and it's also about letting go. It's about more. And then sometimes it's about less. And also, and I think in some ways, the industry has the most trouble with what I'm about to say next. Real life is sometimes about clarity, but it's also sometimes about lack of clarity and fogginess and not yet knowing. And to only focus on the one half and not the other is to not be able to meet the full range of our clients' needs. Because our clients are going to experience loss and destruction and less and lack of clarity, right? For example, some of our clients are going to leave marriages or partnerships or have the loss of a partner. Some of our clients, when we work with them, are going to leave their homes or lose their jobs, or is going to be time for them to leave their jobs. For some of our clients, as we work with them, it's going to be time for them to let go of certain kinds of programming or have periods where they don't grow their business, but they pull back because that's what's right for them. As we work with some of our clients, they might experience illness or death of loved ones or needing real space, like a considerable amount of space before taking more action or making certain decisions or getting clarity on those decisions. And as practitioners, it's so important for us to understand what all of this is about. Not just about how it functions in human behavior, but also a little bit about the nature, as much as we can understand the nature of mystery and letting go. If we don't, then we become what I call push coaches. Always pushing and prodding clients forward instead of finding the aligned organic pace that our client is meant to be in. And if we don't honor this whole other half of life that we're talking about, then we tend to bypass our clients. We tend to bypass feelings that need to be felt, synchronicities, natural rhythms, and aligned decisions. But a lot of the transformational industry these days is about push, 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 go, go, go. Right. And so we've already looked at this in little ways so far, but today I want us to look in a more focused way at some of this. I mean, we could spend months. We're going to just spend one call, but we're going to get into it. The call today, like the mystery itself, is kind of cyclical. Like, it's going to be a little mysterious. I tend to try to have things a little more linear, but we're going to kind of be in the cyclical and the mystery today. So speaking of cycles, you know, many of you already know about the cycles. Many of you have heard me share about the cycles. We've looked at cycles a little bit so far, in the program, and I just want to briefly name them and name the seasons. You know, so we have spring, which is so much about new beginnings, starting new things, right? We looked at this when we looked at the energetics of new things. Things are starting to grow and bud and bloom, and there's an excitement starting to get clarity on what's next and set foundations to take action. There's summer season, which is about now settling in after the spring with the persistence and the consistency to grow, right? To grow projects, to grow goals, to grow visions, to move forward in it. After summer is autumn, time for harvest, right? We've worked hard in the summer, and then we get to pluck some of the fruits off the trees. Sometimes it's not the fruits we thought they would grow. Sometimes the apple isn't as big as we wanted, right? Like, but we pluck fruits or lessons, we harvest, we take a moment to pause, to enjoy, to really take in. And then after autumn is winter, the silent night, the long pause, the release, the letting go. And it's a time for less, too. Most of the modern capitalist world, and I would say the coaching industry in step with it, not always, and it's changing a lot from when I first started teaching this decades ago, but still by and large, importance and value is mostly put on spring and summer. And, you know, I'll share a big piece, a percentage of the work that I often do with clients is in healing from being misaligned with the rhythms, from living their life only valuing and trying only to be in spring and summer. I see in the chat there's you're not finding the worksheets. I'll make sure that they're there. They should have been there. I don't know why they weren't put in, but I'll make sure that they get put in after class. I'm not going to take our time right now to try and get in touch with my team, but let me make a note. Okay, does this make sense so far? I'm going to talk a little bit more. I know I'm sharing a lot, and then we'll pause. Actually, you know what? Let's pause here because there already has been a lot shared so far. What's feeling important so far for you? What are you seeing that's feeling important here? Either for yourself or your client. Anyone want to share? I feel like we're in the winter silence on our call today. Amy.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you. Yeah, this is so, so resonant with me, and what I'm seeing the two pieces come together for me is just this really aligns with how I live my life, which also is my practice, which also is my business, and it's all one of the same. So for me, it just brings everything so much more in where the human meets the spirit, and that it just feels like it's life and it's real. So it's not, it's breaking down that illusion as you were describing of kind of focusing just on one aspect and thinking, and we can all, I can put my hand up to say that to get caught in that trap sometimes of like it's all one type of thing, but to actually step back and realize, hang on, like we're just, you know, going through these changes all the time and really honoring that. So for me, it's that really valuable reminder of to really flow and be and go with what is, even if it's kind of against maybe what sometimes the mind might say, or, you know, because the body or one of those aspects are going to jump in and kind of lead. At least that's my experience of it.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a really great reminder.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to definitely talk more about that. It's like we know it, and then somehow it's tough. Yep. Good. Thank you. Susan.
Yeah, down the hand. One of the last things you said was most striking to me, that and the idea that, you know, not just the coaching industry, but as society, we put more value on spring and summer. And so a big part of the work to be done is healing from the imbalance that that creates in ourselves and our clients.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that goes along exactly with what Juniper is saying in the chat, is this is how we prevent burnout.
Yeah. Right.
So important, that balance that you're talking about. Susan E.
I find too that the winter season and the darkness brings about so much fear. So it's learning to deal with so much fear that crops up with people that they don't feel when it's the summer and spring season.
That's absolutely, yes. We're going to look more at that too, because it can bring up so much. Okay, good. So as so many of you are already sharing, and as we're seeing, we can't, right, when we're coaching, we can't just stay in the spring and the summer. And we have to watch for when a client is in an autumn phase, and where I want to focus today is really in a winter phase. And by the way, the phases don't have to last as long as a season of the year, right? 3 months. Some growth phases can be many, many years even, right? Or winter, you know, whatever it is. So when I say a winter phase, what do I mean by that? So I'll give you a couple of examples, but a winter phase could be a sabbatical. You're taking a sabbatical from work. A winter phase could be a releasing of something, releasing a marriage, releasing a home, releasing a job. A winter phase might mean letting something die that is in the process of dying, as opposed to resisting it and taking the time to grieve it. A winter phase might be taking rest, right? Beyond just the kind of consistent rest that hopefully we're all taking at the end of the day and the end of the week, right? But a longer rest. So I think we already know this in this group, but just to say, why is it important to move into a winter phase, to consciously step into a winter phase? Because when we don't, we tend to end up being in misalignment, right? We're not aligned with what our bodies need, with what is really meant next for us. We tend to make, if we're refusing to go into a winter phase when it's time, we're usually making decisions that are out of integrity for us and our souls and our psyches. When we don't consciously step into a winter phase, when it's time for us, you know, as has been said, we end up doing too much. We get burnt out. We don't end up having the space that we need. Sometimes we might consciously step into a winter phase because we recognize that we need time and space to heal from illness or trauma or some kind of life change or change in status. Sometimes we're going to consciously step into a winter phase to have time to grieve, as I said before. Sometimes it's because we have an inner, something on the inner is leading us to more simplicity for a period of time. We don't feel like carrying so much, just like almost like the trees are like, you know what? I need some time without the leaves in order to get stronger, right? Sometimes we want to consciously step into a winter phase so that we don't end up settling for something instead of receiving the ideal in a situation. Sometimes we're going to step into a winter phase and let go so that we can create more room for other things to come in. All sounds simple and easy, right? However, as Amy said, and as Susan Engel said, even if we know better, it can be difficult to consciously step into a winter phase when it is the right time to. And as Susan said, it's usually because of fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of scarcity, if I don't take this opportunity right now, even though I don't have space for it, but if I don't take this opportunity right now, there's never going to be another opportunity again, right? Or if I don't have more and more and more and more, I'm not going to have enough security. That's one that I fall into a lot, right? If we have an addiction also to more. Sometimes it's hard to step into a winter phase because of a fear of change. Or a fear of the mystery. We are a culture that is addicted to clarity and always needing to know. But it's not always a time for clarity, right? Some people have trouble consciously stepping into a winter phase because of fear of open space and time. What am I going to find if I'm not so busy, right? What am I going to find inside of myself? Or if there's a fear of grief, I'm going to just grieve and it's going to go on forever and I'm going to be in the abyss and I'm never going to be able to get out of it. For some people, it's hard to move into a winter phase because of the fear of letting others down. But I need to keep on doing all of the things and I need, right, all of that. And then, you know, I said we were going to get like spiritual and universal and out there. So, and just to say, for some people, it's hard to step into winter because winter does represent death. And as a culture, we are not in right relationship with death, right? There's a lot of fear around it. And again, this is like, these are hard things. Even I am teaching this, and also I have to work on this. So a few years back, it was time for me to take a sabbatical from private work. I knew I wasn't going to take a full sabbatical from my business. I was going to continue with programs, but it was time for more space. For a bit, I needed it for my soul and my well-being. I also recognized that my kids were in a phase where they needed more of me. And it was so hard. I cannot tell you how difficult it was for me. I didn't stop any of my private clients like mid-program. I let people know ahead of time it was coming. But it was so difficult for me to do that because I didn't want my clients to feel let down. I didn't want them to feel like, I was just disappearing and all of that. And I had some fear of scarcity. More of like, oh my gosh, if I let everybody go, will there be people when I'm ready to take on clients again? And I ended up holding on to one or two clients during that time. For some of it was for aligned reasons, but if I'm being completely honest with myself, some of it was that fear, right? Okay. So let's use all of this as a backdrop to look a little bit deeper first in yourself. What's your relationship with letting things go? Take a moment and journal on that. What's your relationship with letting things go? What's your relationship with letting things go? And I'll add a couple of things to think about as you're writing on this. What's your relationship with surrender and with needing more also? So what's your relationship with surrender and then leading and needing more also? So I added on, yes, exactly, Jennifer. What's your relationship with surrender? And then, as a separate question, what's your relationship with needing more or fear of scarcity? It's another way of looking at that one. There's some really great comments in the chat from before we started journaling, and I want to read Mika's out loud. It feels like this loops back to honoring what is, yes, and embracing the wholeness and completeness of individual client, facilitating their recognition of their wholeness and completeness, regardless of their current perceived place in their journey. Yes, big yes to all of that. I love how you put all of that. Here's another question to journal on. What's your relationship with not knowing and being in the mystery? What's your relationship with not knowing and being in the mystery? Sometimes with my business, when I know something needs to be in the mystery and it kind of just like it needs to be put off, and I'm just like, I'm not going to do it yet because I don't know the answer. I'll create the space. But then I find in my journaling, which is just supposed to be my journaling for myself, I'm trying right away to get the answer to it. Like I'll go straight to the tarot to give me the answer when I've already decided. I know it needs to be in the mystery for a while, right? I just like still it can creep in. All right. A few other questions. What's one thing in your life right now that you know is ready to die or be released, but you've been clinging on to it? And that can be, it can be a relationship, it can be a type of ideal client, it can be something else. But what's something in your life that you know is ready to die, or be released, but you've been clinging on to it? Next question. Why have you been clinging on to it? In other words, what are you scared of? Why have you been clinging on? Next question. What would you need to believe in order to let this thing go? What would you need to believe in order to let this thing go? I'd love to hear a couple shares on this. What are you seeing that's feeling important? And as always, I ask these inner questions, as you all know, for you to explore for yourself and for your own transformation. And also because there's such a range of human behavior, right? Our clients are bringing pieces of this as well. So it's always great to hear. What are you seeing? What's feeling important? What's coming through? Who wants to share? Y'all are quiet today. Golda.
I'd like to share about a past winter. After I sold my business and I just consciously stepped into that a sabbatical and dismantling my identity and doing all the death ceremonies and the vision, like just really letting my apartment, my car, my community, everything go, and went abroad and was just, it was so hard. I actually slipped into a low-grade depression with not having any purpose or relevance or significance, which was all the things that I was super fearing of letting go of that business. But I knew that I needed to do that in order to step into that next version of myself. So it was so hard, and yet I leaned in.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're sharing this. One, just it's such an important story. Number two, it illustrates that it is hard, even when we've made the decision and we're like, yes, I'm consciously going in and I'm letting go of the thing, that doesn't make it easy. I mean, so long as we're not fighting against it, right? That's easier. There's flow, but that still doesn't mean that there isn't grief and discomfort involved. And the other reason why I so appreciate what you just shared, Golda, is this piece about the significant, you know, I not feeling significant and relevant. And I know you know this. And also it's a good reminder for all of us, which is why I'm sharing it. Again, what does capitalism value and what does capitalism not value? What are the messages that have seeped in? I am of value. I am significant. I have this business and I'm doing these things, blah, 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 you know, all of that. But without that, I am not significant. There is no significance. I am not relevant, right? We have come because ideas like this are so seeped into our culture that it's like they're part of our being. We forget to challenge them. We forget that that might not be true, right? And so I bring this up, number one, because I think the whole topic of today, similar to our call on perfection, is like a resistance call, like, you know, that like we are the resistance. And I also pull it out, and we'll look more at this to remind all of us that it's so important for us to be using our listening skills, checking our filters when we're with clients, and then using creating awareness skills and rewiring skills to support clients out of beliefs that they have just taken as truth, but don't serve them. So thank you for sharing all of that. All right, let's keep on going. While y'all were journaling, I did find, I went quick into to get the resource. There's two resource sheets for today, but I just put in the chat a link to one of them. I'll make sure all of them get into the member center. But if you've been feeling like, I need to look at something while we do this, that's there for you. And I'm sorry it wasn't in your member center before. How do you know if a client is in a winter phase or ready to step into a winter phase or ready to let something go? I'd love to hear some shares on that. What should we be listening for? Who wants to share? How do you know if a client is in a winter phase or ready to let something go? Or resisting a winter phase? They're fatigued, they're tired, they're burnt out. Yeah. Exhaustion, heavy fatigue that's been ongoing. Mm-hmm. Emotional fatigue. What else? You think of anything else? Not feeling the same level of engagement, yes, or meaning around something they once were, good, yes. sharing the reasons why they can't possibly step away. They're in such resistance to it and they feel constrained. Yes. They're feeling resentful. Yes. One more thing I want to add to the mix is sometimes, not always, but sometimes someone is ready for a winter phase or to let something go when they've tried every which way, you know, with their like the best of energetics. And it's just like, it's not working. Right? It's just not working. That doesn't mean that they necessarily are going to let go of that goal or that vision forever, but it might mean that they need to go into a little bit of a winter phase with that vision. Right? Okay. So I want to spend a few minutes. This is where I said we're getting a little out there, but not really. But I want to spend a few minutes to share some, I don't know, what I would call spirit. We've already looked at some spiritual truths or universal truths, which, by the way, aren't truths at all. Unless you decide they are for you, right? So I'm going to toss some of these, kind of like pieces of wisdom, if they resonate for you. Because remember, one way of creating awareness on anything for a client, one way is by consulting, right? Is by sharing some wisdom. And I find that this is one of those topics where, because the culture has indoctrinated in all of the other ways, there isn't necessarily a lot of wisdom around winter and letting go and mystery. And so I want to share some pieces for you to consider for yourself and also to have in your back pocket for clients. Number one, in order for rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first, right? Metaphoric death. In other words, the spring always comes after the winter. It does not happen any other way. There has to be a rest or a letting go of some sort at some point for more growth to happen. Farmers that plow the fields know this. Every few years, they don't plow a field. They let it rest. The earth needs that in order to yield later on, right? And unfortunately, again, because of all of these capitalist beliefs, we're doing less than that with the land and the earth, and it's reaping terrible consequences, right? Here's another pearl of wisdom, if it resonates. You've heard me share this one before. Trees grow the most in the winter. We think that there's nothing happening, right? It's just like we don't see any leaves. We see nothing growing. It's just completely dead. But really, during the winter, when there aren't the leaves and the fruits on the tree, it doesn't have to work so hard on the outer action to have all of that grow. It can focus its energy. That's when the roots strengthen the most and get nourished the most, is in the winter, so that the next growth can happen in the spring. Here is another one. And this one is very easy to forget when we go into fear. The spring does always come. Might be a long winter, but the spring does always come. I'm going through these pretty quick. Next one. Sometimes the best visioning happens right after the mystery. So in other words, when we allow ourselves to not know for a while in that darker place, the night, right? When do dreams start to happen is in the nighttime. But we have to be willing to first step into the mystery and step in to the nighttime. Here's another one that might resonate. When things are full, the universe doesn't see a place where it can give more or differently, right? If things are stuffed, but you're wanting this other thing to happen, there might not be space for it to happen. Here's another one. And this one is, I think, a tough one for, especially for people that have privilege, in countries that have privilege. There are moments to make do with less, right? Not every moment is for more and more. There are moments to make do with less. A related one. Better to have less, but have it be aligned, than have more, but have it be misaligned. Better to have less and have it be aligned than to have more and have it misaligned. Here's another piece of wisdom for practitioners. And energy follows energy on all of these, but especially this next one. My client is strong enough to withstand loss. This is an energetics piece, right? If we don't believe that our client is strong enough to withstand loss, then how can we ever hold space for them to make a decision to let go of something that's not aligned anymore? That makes sense? Okay, Jessica's asking me to clarify the better to have less, but have it be aligned than more than misaligned. So we can look to business as an example of this. Sometimes I see people go for like more and more and more programs or more and more people in a program, et cetera. And then it's like, you forget to like actually create aligned programs, or sometimes it's better to have fewer people, but they're the right people. Right? Okay. So my client is strong enough to withstand loss. And then the next energetic piece after that, I, as a practitioner, am strong enough to hold space for loss and grief. I can withstand holding space for my client on this. So often practitioners shy away from leaning in to everything we're looking at today because they're scared that they can't handle it, right? There's such a deep discomfort with sitting in the shadows with somebody else, with sitting in somebody else's discomfort, that the reaction on the practitioner, the quick reaction is like, not to go there. Let's go for the light, right? Always for the light. We want to build resilience so that we can sit in the shadows with our clients when it's the time for them to do that. Sometimes with some clients, I'll drop the following thing because it helps them a lot. Sometimes it's easier to think about giving something up to spirit versus letting it go. giving it up to spirit, right? So that it's not like a just full on, I'm destroying this thing, but I'm letting something bigger than me do what's best for it with it. I think the last of these that I'll share for right now, and this is, it's so simple and it's so obvious, but I think that even sometimes practitioners with the best of intentions, they forget this one because they are goal chasing with their clients so that they can feel better about themselves and they can get their clients what they want and all the things. But this is like one of my most basic philosophies in all of my coaching: health and well-being above all else. Period. End of story. So what that means as an example for me as a practitioner is when I see that a client needs space, they need time to take better care of themselves, they're already over full, I don't care if the most incredible next program idea comes up for them. I'm first going to hold space for them to really consider if it is the right time for that. Health and well-being always above all else, no matter what the goal that the client came to me for. Of the ones that I mentioned, if there was one that you recognize right now is important for you to remember most, which one would it be? Maria.
You're asking for a share?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like Golda shared, stepping through her experience, I stepped through midwifery. And so I would say, maybe not for all my clients, but for myself, I felt like I was called to be a midwife, like forces bigger than me put me in the situation to be a midwife. So then when it was time for me to step through and no longer be a midwife, it felt like forces bigger than me pushed me through the process. And so rather than, because then I went through a lot of the things that Golda alluded to, like if I'm not helping people have a baby, I have no reason to be here. Like if there truly are gates at heaven and you rattle the gate and they're like, oh, she's a midwife, let her in. Like, you know, now I'm not that. Oh, you're not doing anything anymore. So that surrendering it to spirit and have something bigger than me put me in the space and then something bigger than me help me move through the space was really helpful rather than me quitting or letting people down or all the things on the list. Although I felt all those things, I also felt held by something bigger. So that surrender piece, the surrender and being held by something bigger,
yes,
that's what, but mostly to me as I'm transitioning as a new identity and showing up in a new way.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Again, surrender isn't easy, right? Even when we know it, even when it's so clear. Good. In the chat, Jennifer's saying health and well-being above all else. Yes. For Susan, when things are full, there is no space for something else to happen. Yes. For Amy, when things are full, the universe can't make space. My client is strong enough and I am strong enough. Yes. Better to have less and have it be aligned than to have more and have it be misaligned. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay, so how do we help our clients make hard decisions about releasing something or letting something go or stepping into a winter phase of, you know, rest, sabbatical, whatever it is. We've already learned all the skills, but I'm going to kind of look at some of the skills that we've learned already in this program and apply it specifically to this situation. Number one, and I think this one is one of the most important things, no attachment to outcome. The moment we get attached to, they need to find a new job by the 6 months, right? Or they need to bring in 10 clients by the, or they need to find their ideal relationship, right? Like whatever the stated goals are, yes, of course, we're helping to move them towards it. But part of the process of moving them towards it might be that they need to let go of something or take a break or take a pause. But the moment we get attached to the outcome and to the outcome in this amount of time, then we are, it's like we've put on a blindfold to be able to really hear what's going on for our client and what they need next. So, and along with that, the other thing I think that's so important is for us to remember that there's always more than one way to reach a goal. If we get attached to the strategy, that also then we end up with blinders on to see if it's a moment for mystery or letting go or rest. Nisha's saying in the chat, I experienced this with money. When I attach to that outcome, I feel like I have a blindfold on. I know that experience as well, Nisha. I'm glad you're sharing that. As I said earlier, but I'm just going to underline it again, always keep your client's well-being top of mind and take a stand for their well-being. Create awareness. This is a big one. Oftentimes, for all of the reasons and all of the things that we looked at already on our call today, oftentimes our clients don't have the awareness that they can stop, that they can slow down, that it's okay not to know, that they'll be okay if they release. Right? These wisdom that we've been looking at today, again, because of culture, our clients literally may not know this. And so part of our work is to co-create awareness, whether it's through reflection or asking questions, right? Whatever it is. And I think just the other thing I want to say on that is sometimes we'll create awareness and the client will really see it. Okay, I can stop. And then sometimes the next thing after that is, okay, but I'm scared, right? And then we might do a befriend your fear or another one of the techniques that we've looked at. Or rewiring, right? So any of that. I'm sharing these, by the way, in no particular order, like the chaos of the mystery itself. One thing that I have found is really helpful for people to be able to step into letting go of something is to honor before releasing. So what that means is, and this goes back to the seasons too, it's really hard to let go of something if we haven't harvested it, if we haven't like really taken in, even if it's the worst thing in the world, like the shittiest romantic relationship that needs to go, it is hard to release if we don't at least honor what we've learned from that relationship or how it served up until now, right? So whenever I do any release work, whether it's just cognitively in a conversation with a client, whether it's ritually and we're releasing ritually before the release in the ritual, or the decision to let go, or in the process of the letting go, there is an honoring, right? How did this serve? What were the lessons? What from this do you want to hold on to that will still serve you or take you through, right?
Sometimes... How you doing? Can I just dump what's back?
I think Bruce didn't realize he was off mute. Bruce, are you trying to share something, or do you just keep on by mistake taking yourself off mute? Yeah, that's what I thought. Sometimes another. Sometimes another way that, or something that can help a client move in to a releasing, a letting go, a winter phase is asking a question like, what's a triumph story that you have already around release or winter or being in the mystery, not being clear? Right? When has that worked out for you ultimately? I already said challenging cultural norms. You know, we've spoken about a bunch in this call and in Myth of Perfection and other calls. I can't remember if we spoke about challenging the particular norm of meritocracy. Right. So going back to what Golda was sharing before, that I am a person of merit or value or significance or whatever, only if I am producing, only if I am achieving. It's one that goes so deep. And another one, I think we spoke about this in Myth of Perfection, but just as a reminder, hierarchical thinking, the person who has more money is better than the person who has less, the person that has achieved more or gotten the promotion is better, right? It's like our whole society is based on hierarchy. And because of that, it denies the importance of autumn and winter, right? So challenging some of those norms, really important. We looked at this envisioning, I just want to bring it forward again, clarifying values and priorities and what people really want from life. So when I go into my fear, like more and bigger business, blah, 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 you know, all the things. And some of that is great, right? Like some of that really is aligned. But when I'm in that place, I'm disconnected from some of the things that I really want from life, which is space, which is opportunity to experience pleasure, which is deepened friendship, right, et cetera. So clarifying and re-clarifying and coming back to priorities, values, what your client really wants from life. As a part of that, defining, we looked at the importance of definitions. So asking a client to define certain terms like abundance. What, you know, is abundance only more money? Or what does that mean to you? Or define success, right? That can help or define happiness, that sometimes can also create awareness and help clients disconnect from those cultural norms when they define it in their own terms. We could spend many weeks on grief. And so, you know, what I'm just going to say for now, sometimes just holding space, acknowledging the pain of letting something go, and then giving, not that we give client permission, but allowing clients agency for grief. And then holding space for a client to feel the loss that can, because being able to experience grief in healthy ways can move, help someone move towards, I'm ready to let something go. Sometimes the letting go happens first and then the grief. Other times starting the grieving process can help someone let go of something that they're ready to let go of. And then this is one of my favorite things. So, well, first off, we'll go back to the seasons for a moment. So there's one other thing that we do. There's many things we do in the harvest. One, like I said, is enjoy the fruits of the labor. But the other, another thing that we do in the harvest is as we're enjoying the fruits of our labor, we're also deciding what we're saving for the long winter, right? Because we know there's not going to be the growth during that season. And so we might be really enjoying an apple, but we're also putting some apples in the silo, right? And so to kind of extend this metaphor, I find often with clients that giving a little space, just asking a question around, you know, what are the resources that you will still have through winter and even at the end helps create courage to be able to move into it. And on a related note, this is a little game that I play with myself, and I ask this sometimes for clients when they need it, because I tend towards catastrophic thinking, as you all already know. And so when I go into my fear that everything is going to fall apart, and if I don't keep on marketing or this or that or the other thing, it's just like there's going to be nothing. What I will do is I'll make a list, write it out of everything that I have that nobody can take away from me. Right? All the knowledge that I have, the heart that I have, my values, the wisdom, the fit, right? Like all of that, because these are things that remind me that if should everything fall apart, I have resources to rebuild. Okay. So we have a few minutes left. First of all, I want to, let me share your homework with you. And again, you'll get your sheets. And then I want to open up for shares and questions and last thoughts. But a couple of pieces of homework I want to pull out. Number one, if you're working with clients, make a list of each client and think about, is there a place where they might be ready for winter? And by the way, like we don't have to go into winter in all areas of our life or all areas of our business or all areas of our career, right? But consider if, because maybe you haven't been willing to see until now, right? So take a look at that. Another piece of homework that I'd love for you to do is to give yourself three journaling questions based on what came through for you today. So what are three questions that you would like to journal on based on some things that came through? If you would like to, I also want to invite you to do a befriend your fear, but not with a fear. I want to invite you to dialogue with the mystery. Deepen your relationship with the archetypal energy of mystery. And then in your partner calls, explore more on the topics we looked at today. Maybe there's something that your coaching partner is ready to let go of, or a way that they're ready to slow down, etc. I'd love to hear what you're taking from our call or what questions that you have. I'd like to share. Nisha saying in the chat, I heard this question the other day. What do you know about yourself that no one can argue with? I love that too. Yeah, it's related to the resources. And Golda, with that same topic that we were on, wrote out those on little paper and put them in a jewel sack and took them on your sabbatical. I love that too. Juniper.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get a little guidance around what we do once the winter is entered. and part of this comes from just a negative experience I had in the past where a coach helped me enter a winter, and then it's like I got it. I was like, great, I know how to rest, and I fully accept that it's time to rest. And then we had all these sessions, and I would just show up and be open, and she did not know what to do with me because there was nothing to be working towards. And I feel like with this program, like, I've already held space for friends with just listening and reflecting when they've been in the winter in a new way, but I still feel a little fear actually around the client relationship, I think, because of that past experience.
Yeah. It's such a great question. I'll toss some things, but before I do, let me ask you this. Looking back now on that experience, what did you need during that time when you were in the winter phase? Beyond the rest,
mm-hmm.
What else did you need?
You know, it was a time for me to really be with my grief and needing to heal. And I honestly, I'm not even sure what I needed because I tried so much and nothing really seemed to work except time. So just maybe not seeing anybody at all is what I needed.
Yeah. So that is one possibility, right? So first of all, there's lots of different kinds of winter phases. Some are like complete, I need to pause everything, be with the grief and nothing else. Some winter phases are about, I need to let go of this thing, or not keep on working on that so I can make space for the other thing. Every now and again, this is not most of the time when a client goes into a winter phase. Every now and again, though, it's a moment to freeze the coaching for a period of time. Because like what Juniper is saying, sometimes it's just like nothing can happen and it's just time. But that, so I'm putting that out there for all of us to know that is a thing. But that's an exception. So when, you know, every situation is going to be different. Sometimes what a client is going to need is support and container and inspiration and handholding to actually stay in the winter period, to not take on more, and to find inside of themselves their value or their trust or their confidence or whatever it is they need, their resilience as they're in that winter period, right? So it might be a time for more deeper inner work to really befriend any of the fears that were previously keeping the client in go, go, go and push, push, push mode. Or support to just hold that space for grieving as well. So that's one of the big pieces that can happen during this. A couple of other things I'll share and toss out. Sometimes it's about letting go of one thing or taking a pause on one thing, but not that everything is in a winter phase. And so it's about being really clear on what are the things that are still moving forward and then what isn't, and focusing on those. And then the other thing, I spoke a little bit about this earlier. I tend to think of the winter, and we see this if we kind of look seasonally, is there's two phases of winter. There's the phase of winter with the most nighttime hours. That's winter solstice to February 1st to Imolc or Groundhog's Day. And that's like that's the deepest winter, the least daylight and the most night, you know, we really can't see. But then the second half of winter is from Groundhog's Day until spring equinox. And now it's still more dark than light out, but we're starting to see shadows of things. There is more light, and it's a beautiful time for visioning what's next. So it's not like nothing happens during that winter phase. What are some thoughts that are sparking for you, Juniper, as I'm sharing all of this?
Well, I think it's helpful to hear that maybe my experience was the exception and not the rule, just as background. And the phases of the winter, like the different parts of the season, like really tuning into, is it that transition from fall where you're deciding what comes with you? Is it the depths of winter where there's a spaciousness? Is it the shimmers of spring coming back? I think just having that awareness is helpful too in knowing or guiding, you know, how we respond in each session.
Yeah. Good. I'm so glad you asked that. All right, everybody. I am sending you all a lot of love. And just wishes for taking everything that we looked at today deep into your heart and your body. And like Mika said earlier, knowing that this is our wholeness and completeness is the doing and also the not doing. We get to be all of it. All right. Sending you all lots of love. I'll see you soon.